you know, I like to live very dramatically in my life and wear my emotions on my sleeves. And that's just kind of like what I need to do to get myself out of bed every day, is just give myself this kind of like blockbuster movie type of mentality where it's like, I'm going to do right today. You know, I'm going to win. You know,
fall downstairs.
Yeah, fall down. Oh, it's like an Adam Sandler. Now I want to make that to a movie. I'm going to win it.
This podcast is brought to you by Blaker Brewing. That's right. We got an official beer of the podcast, you guys. Thank you so much, Blaker. I truly, truly appreciate it. And if you guys haven't heard of Blaker Brewing, then you're missing out. Okay. Located in Atwater and Ceres, this brewery not only offers delicious tasting beer, but it also has great events that bring the whole community together. So this October, you guys, on October 8th, make sure that your calendar is cleared out because Blaketoberfest 2022 is happening. Now, this is located at the Tarmac in Atwater, California. Now, there's going to be beer. There's going to be games. There's going to be live music, cocktails, Stein challenges, and so much more. Now, if you are interested in this event and you want to buy tickets, please go to their Instagram. That's at Blaker Brewing, or their other one, at Blaker Tarmac. And you could click on the link in their Instagram accounts, and that'll take you to Eventbrite where you can purchase your tickets. Once again, you guys, make sure you have October 8th cleared for Blaketoberfest at the Tarmac in Atwater. Thanks again, Blaker. This podcast is brought to you by Woofstock. Yes, that's right, Woofstock, you guys. New Beginnings is hosting the second annual Woofstock Saturday, September 24th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. This event will be held at the Merced County Fairgrounds, and it is completely free. There's going to be over 70 vendors there, amazing food trucks, bands, and all proceeds from the day will go to New Beginnings in helping local animals. Now, this group and this organization is they do wonderful things, you guys. Now, this group of volunteers works to foster and rescue animals, assist with medical needs like injured animals, and grants vouchers for low-cost spay, neuter, and vaccinations. Now, there will be a raffle, and tickets can be bought right now for the event. The three grand prizes are a weekend getaway to the coast, a 75-inch smart TV, and a staycation with dinner and a movie here at the fabulous El Capitan Hotel. Now, if you're interested in buying tickets and for more information, please contact Mindy Martin at 209-756-4650. That's 209-756-4650. Or you can email her, woofstock2021@gmail.com. Once again, that's woofstock2021@gmail.com. Thanks again, Woofstock. This podcast is brought to you by Creepy Kawaii, a locally owned art gallery located at 1742 Canal Street here in downtown Merced. Now, Creepy Kawaii features art, spray paint, events, and when I'm saying events, she is putting on for the art community of Merced, you guys. She is bringing people together. She is always having people, new people in her shop, always promoting new and different work, and she's just a great, great person. So thank you, Patty, for sponsoring this podcast, and they have tons more stuff in there. They have clothing, they have Asian import snacks, and they just have so many cool things that Patty creates herself. Now, if you guys want to check it out, you can visit the website, www.creepykawaiidesigns.com. Or you could follow her on Instagram. Once again, that's Creepy Kawaii Designs for her Instagram. And I just can't recommend this enough. Please go check out Creepy Kawaii Designs. Thanks again, Patty. This podcast is brought to you by Lisa Haynes. She's a home loan specialist that helps you prepare to jump into one of the most exciting times of your life. That's right, becoming a homeowner. Now, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, or if you just want to see if you qualify, you can reach out to her by her phone number at 209-769-1877. Once again, that's 209-769-1877. Or reach out to her on Instagram at Coffee and Home Loans. Once again, that's at Coffee and Home Loans. Thanks, Lisa. This podcast is brought to you by WorkNet and the Merced County Workforce Development Board. On this podcast, we often talk about how people in the Valley made it, or how they are successful, or how they started a new business, and what drove them to do these different things. And with Merced County, WorkNet provides people with career advice and job information. It also provides training that they might need in order to change careers. 3 years ago, I was on my way to become a teacher, and then I jumped into something and I thought it might be too late. It might be too late to switch careers, but it wasn't, you guys. And that's what this organization is doing. It's helping assist you to, you know, find that new job, find something you're actually passionate about. Now, in order to find WorkNet services, they are provided through Merced County, and it's completely free. So, like, it's a no-brainer, you guys. It is completely free. Now, they have helped hundreds of people and small businesses every year, and you can check them out at WorkNetMerced.com. Once again, you guys, if you're interested in this program at all, please visit WorkNetMerced.com, and they can help you. Thanks again, WorkNet Merced. And thanks for tuning in to the Central Valley Podcast. I'm your host, Micah D'Ailey. And if you're new around here, this is a show where I highlight the talented individuals who live within the Central Valley of California, as well as people in general who are passionate about what they do. Welcome to season four, you guys. I am so, so happy to announce this season and that it is finally starting. A few things that are different is that every single podcast, we're going to have a musical performance, okay? So it's kind of like a late night show where they have their musical performances. So that's something new about the show. Other things that are new about the show, yeah, I mean, you might see this giant pile in front of me if you're watching this on YouTube, but we have Crybaby Wine, Wine of the Podcast. We have Juno Coffee, Coffee of the Podcast. We have some great CBD products, like from the Sisters of the Valley, and we have an official beer of the podcast, Blaker Brewing. So thank you guys so much. I truly, truly, truly appreciate the support, and I am just so excited to get this season started. So coming up next is our first musical performance by Iron Chef Wheeze and his song, Ain't No Way.
Yeah. Say, ain't no way, yeah. There ain't no way, yeah. Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I go by the name of Iron Chef Wheeze. Got a new project out called As We Speak, man. Make sure you go check that shit out right now. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Ain't no way I'm getting cold, ain't no way I'm getting old, ain't no way I sell my soul, there ain't no way, yeah. There ain't no way I'm finna fold, ain't no way I'm getting rolled, either way I'm striking gold, there ain't no way, yeah. There ain't no way they bout it, bout it. Ain't no way my vision clouded. Ain't no way my table crowded. Ain't no way, yeah. There ain't no way I'm slowing down. Ain't no way I drop the crown. Either way I get around it. Ain't no way. There ain't no way I'm sleeping today. Backward to the face, I smoke my problems away. Yeah, pressure got me thinking I got money to make. But I'll be damned if I'm putting all this talent to waste. See, I got bags to chase and I got family to feed. And if y'all really want that work, you know I got what they need. Just know I come with some fees. My work gon' come with some quotes. Know I be doing the most. These rappers coming with jokes. These rappers stay in their feelings. I'd rather stay on my toes. I need the coupe with no ceiling. I keep the show on the road. Don't need no backseat opinion. My competition on skates. They trying to cloud up my vision. They trying to lower my rates. There ain't no way, yeah. Ain't no way I'm getting cold. Ain't no way I'm getting old. Ain't no way I sell my soul. There ain't no way, yeah. There ain't no way I'm finna fold. Ain't no way I'm getting rolled. Either way I'm striking gold. There ain't no way, yeah. There ain't no way they bout it, bout it. Ain't no way my vision clouded. Ain't no way my table crowded. Ain't no way, yeah. There ain't no way I'm slowing down. Ain't no way I drop the crown. Either way I get around it. Ain't no way, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I go by Iron Chef Wheeze. Big shout out Micah, Central Valley Podcast.
Ain't No Way, his new album, As We Speak, is streaming on all platforms. Go check that out on Spotify, Apple Music, and anything else you listen to music for. The Underdog's got tons of great stuff, so go check out their work, their collective group, and thanks again, Iron Chef Wheeze. Now, just jumping into today's episode, today I am joined by a teacher from Fresno, California, named Austin LeMay. Now, that name might not ring a bell, but what might ring a bell is there's a video of him that went viral of him doing the dance, the jerk, with his students. Now, this guy got flown out to be on Ellen, and he has, you know, just was a little online sensation, and it was so cool to talk to the dude. He is about my age, and we just We sit down, we bro out, we talk about the video, and we just have a truly, truly great conversation. Our promo is amazing, so if you haven't seen our promo yet, go over to my Instagram, at Central Valley Podcast. And before the podcast starts, you guys, we got merch. That's right, we got merch. So whether you need a bucket hat, baseball cap, this baseball tee, or I guess it's a dad hat, you know what I mean. But plus other t-shirts, go over to my Instagram at Central Valley Podcast. You can hit visit shop and you can buy all your products right there to help support the podcast. So thank you guys so much for making this season happen. I truly appreciate all the sponsors, all the help I've gotten. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Austin LeMay.
This is it. Real talk. Whatnot.
Real talk. That's it. Real talk.
You know. But I appreciate you coming down from Fresno to Merced, you know.
I appreciate you having
to our
me.
Little headquarters here of the this Central Valley cool. Podcast.
This is like a legit setup that you have.
Yeah, exactly.
I did a couple of some
the other guys being dudes podcast,
the guys
right?
Being dudes were really awesome. They have a cool setup in Clovis, like this whole barn setup where it's like somebody, I think like a friend of theirs, or maybe it's a family member of theirs. They have this like outdoor barn with a bar set up and everything.
It looks like a bar.
It was really cool. It was a really cool setup.
It almost looks like a wedding venue.
I feel like I'm in the JRE right now.
Yeah. Hey. we got the red curtain, man.
Exactly. So. We got Jamie.
Jamie over here. Exactly. Yeah.
Sweet.
And then when you're talking to this, just kind of keep it like a little fistful from your mouth. Of course, you can move it around to wherever it works. Yeah. So why don't you introduce yourself for people who may not know who you are.
So my name's Austin LeMay. I am the campus culture and activities director, which really means I just am a leadership teacher at Tenaya Middle School in Fresno. I know there's a Tenaya Middle School up here in
Merced. Because I was watching a couple of interviews of you, and he kept saying Tenaya Middle School. I was like, I know it's not here,
exactly.
But I keep on thinking Tenaya.
So down the way a little bit in Fresno, but I mean, my most recent claim to fame is I went viral a couple months ago for being the dance. Yeah, being a jerk. Yeah, being a real mean teacher. Just kind of having a good time with my students and it going viral, and got a lot of attention. I got put on the Ellen Show and a couple other big things.
It's not as big as the Ellen Show, okay?
Hey, man.
You know, but
I appreciate this. You know,
was your heart just like beating when you're like on the Ellen Show?
They surprised me with all that. I knew that I was going down there. Like, mm-hmm. They flew me down. It took a couple weeks to kind of set up, but the whole like premise of me going down there was like, hey, we want you to come down and do like an online interview, like an Ellen Tube thing. We're not going to have you in the audience. We're not going to, you know, Ellen's not going to be there. And blah, blah, blah.
Because then Adam Devine was the...
Correct.
Right?
Which, in the month leading up to it, they're like, now, are you a fan of Adam Devine? And I was like, yeah, for sure. Why?
It seems random to me.
Okay, for sure. I'm fans of a lot of other people, too. You know.
But I'm also not going to say no, because I'm going on this.
Like, workaholics, for sure.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was all cool. And then, but then they were also like, but, you know, like, bring down nice clothes and stuff. And so I went down there and, then they're like, I get to the studio, like, we're actually going to put you in the audience for a recording. And
we want you to be as unprepared as you can
for
be
sure.
For this.
So anyway, it was a really cool deal. And, luckily I kind of, I got a little bit of a performer's shtick in my body. One time one of my students said that I have the personality of a failed comedian. And I think that made, and he was like, and I think that was why you became a teacher.
Touché. You're like, thank you. I guess.
I appreciate that. I was like, that hurts my feelings a little bit.
But like, it also seems like a compliment because I'm kind of funny.
Well, he knew exactly where I was coming from, I guess. But I like to be a little bit of a performer, I guess. And it definitely kind of feeds into my teaching habits a little bit. But everybody said I did a good job, and I think I did a good job.
You
could definitely, if you focus on it as closely as I have over the last couple months, I definitely got like a nice layer of
sweat going on.
But that's just natural.
Yeah, exactly.
I run hot.
And then, because you won money, right? But is that money for you, or is it for something?
They gifted me money, and it was, you know, it was for me to do as I will.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So. I didn't know if it was like for something.
It came a month or two after that, and had my name
it
on
did,
it.
So it wasn't what they handed
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, they gave, so like that's the thing. Like all my students, when I came back, they were like, oh my God, like what'd you do when you had all that stack of cash? Like, what, did you have to fly home with it? And which like when I first got it, I was like, oh my God, am I going to have to go through like TSA
yeah,
with 10
exactly.
grand in my back pocket?
They're going
to
ask me?
But then like as soon as I got off stage, somebody, you know, just whipped it right out of my hand. So like, hey, you did a great job. We'll take that back. So.
And you'll get it in you'll get it after taxes.
I didn't like, I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to look like lizard brained on TV or something. Like just like stacking it, like, you know, flipping it and everything.
Looking at it.
So, like making it rain on the Ellen. On the
yeah, exactly.
So,
but so did you end up meeting Ellen or no?
No, she wasn't on stage that
day. Oh, okay, yeah.
You know,
I was also confused because I was like, it's Ellen's show, but it's Adam Devine, and I don't see Ellen.
It
and
was right after
Christmas
break. So like when I went was during our like school Christmas break, and apparently in Hollywood it was kind of weird. So like the video got posted in the beginning of December. I had. Like, that was the 3 weeks that we have school between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which mm-hmm. is already a crazy enough time as it is. And so, like, I did all these local news channels, mm-hmm. and then I started getting hit up by a lot. Like, I got hit up by...
you type in your name, you freaking...
But, like, The Amazing Race, the television show, wanted me to audition.
Really?
A couple of, like, cooking shows wanted me to audition. I auditioned for The Cube. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, I have heard of that one.
I think it's hosted by Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, yeah.
I auditioned for it. I didn't get it, unfortunately. but I did it like a couple of other things. So anyways, so like it was weird. So I had all of these interviews and all these different things that happened like right as the video went out. And then Christmas happened. And apparently all these TV shows and everything take a Christmas break like schools do.
Oh, okay.
So gotcha. Right, like I got kind of depressed during Christmas. So I was like, oh, I guess like... 40 million views and, you know, like it's only like a 3 week lifespan or something.
Yeah,
and then
the
day after New
Year's.
We're
keeping it going 6 months later, man.
I guess. But yeah. Thank you guys. I appreciate this. Hopefully this keeps me alive. I've been losing TikTok followers. Yeah. I don't know how to, my wife and my mom are all like, so what are you going to do next? I'm like, I don't know if lightning strikes twice on this.
Yeah. One. You're like, I guess I'm just a teacher now.
But
huh?
Back to Rio. back to my day job. No, I love teaching. But,
yeah.
Anyways, man, it just and so like the day after New Year's, I had talked to some people from the Ellen show like right as the video came out, and then they went on a hiatus, and then after New Year's they set it all up, and like 4 days later I was flown down to LA.
Oh wow, real quick.
Yeah, they put me in one of those when I got to the stage, and you know, like they had
a green room or whatever.
Well, you know, like if you watch the Ellen show and like when she scares celebrities back in their dressing room, I got put in that dressing room.
Okay.
So I go into the bathroom back there and I like look in. Yeah. I'm like, is Ellen back here? It's like I'm Jennifer Aniston.
So
I mean, it was you know, I didn't get that full celebrity treatment.
Yeah.
If any, you know, it was funny. Like again, like one of their producers or somebody, this really nice lady had been talking to me like for the 2 weeks leading up to it and everything, and the day kind of like you were doing, mm-hmm. you know, we were chatting back and forth just like via text,
yeah, you know,
and
you
then,
know, Central Valley Podcast, Ellen, similar,
but one big time,
yeah,
very, very, very similar. How we got this taken care of. I would have really appreciated a fly in there,
yeah, exactly.
So like they're like asking me like, hey, we're gonna come around noon, like can we get you something to eat or anything like that? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And so I get there and they have like a box of food for me, and they're like, so we've got like 3 hours until we're going to call you on the set, so you just get to, here's a TV, you know, here's all this stuff. And so I'm just in there eating a chicken Caesar salad wrap watching Rick and Morty in the green room of the Ellen DeGeneres show, and everybody, and every time I heard somebody like coming in, I had to like find the remote real quick and like turn it off.
Yeah, you're like,
I didn't want them to know that I was watching Rick and Morty on the backstage. I'm a middle school teacher. I'm a middle schooler at heart, too.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of guys, you know, and men, as they grow up, you know, they still identify as that.
I was trying to tell my niece and nephew about Ed, Edd n Eddy the other day.
Oh, yeah, dude. Ed, Edd n Eddy. And all Cartoon Network had Dexter's Laboratory
and
all
like,
those.
Like Cartoon Network loyalists are kind of like, we're kind of like black sheep a little bit. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like, we Cartoon Network people and Disney Channel people.
They're not the same.
No,
yeah,
not
yeah.
at all.
Nickelodeon's
not
a little bit easier to cross over, yeah. But Disney was like, realistic, super cheesy shows.
Yeah.
And then, but then there's, what is it, Johnny Bravo? The most random.
Johnny Bravo, Boy Meets Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Cow and Chicken.
Yo, Cow Chicken, yeah. Was that, was Cat Dog on that one? Or
Cat
was that
Dog
Nick?
Was Nickelodeon.
But that could have, that could have been.
Cat Dog,
yeah,
that, that Cat Dog been. Was like a rejected, like Adult Swim
yeah,
premise.
Exactly. Like yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For sure. But then you go to Nickelodeon and you got like weird stuff like Ren and Stimpy or something. I could.
Yeah.
That was a little too much. Yeah. That
how old are you?
I'm 31.
30. Oh, so yeah. I'm 29. Oh, we're 29. Yeah, we're all
the same generation.
Yeah, general age. Yeah, exactly. Because yeah. You said, I saw one of your interviews, you were like, Teach Me How to Jerk came out my senior year. And I was like, well, I was in high school. I don't think I was senior.
So you graduated 2011?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you're my brother's age, my little brother's
oh,
age.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Gotcha.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Like age people here.
We yeah, exactly.
Grew up with a jerk.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Man. And so did that song just start coming popular because of TikTok or something?
I guess
like, how did the kids start playing
so,
it?
So it started popping. I didn't have a TikTok before this happened, so I didn't know like what was trending or whatnot, but mm-hmm. I saw some kids doing the jerk
mm-hmm.
at school, and they started telling me like... And it's so funny too, because like the trend before this
was called
a devious lick. You guys hear about that? You see any of the? I mean, it's back at the beginning of this past school year. But did you see any of the news stories about students that were like,
go on,
like big time vandalizing their restrooms at school?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff
because
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So I used to be a substitute for high school.
Oh,
and
God
and
bless you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So kind of what deterred me from being a teacher,
you
know?
For your service.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But So I knew from all the, because I have a whole bunch of friends that are teachers at the schools, and yeah, they were like, one of them was just pretty much destroyed the bathrooms and like do the most ridiculous stuff.
So that's what was happening like the couple of weeks before that, and so like it was funny because the whole and. I'm not, you know, I'm 31, so like we're not that old.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I am very much kind of like, and now that I'm a dad too and everything, I'm like tiptoeing into that like fatherhood domain where it's like get off my lawn kind of deal. Where it's like TikTok's bad.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You guys have no idea.
You're worried about getting hurt doing normal.
You guys
want to
have a job someday? And because, you know, like a kid like literally ripped a sink off of the wall in our bathroom, you know?
Yeah, it pretty much was like one of the most damage you could do.
Right. So, like, I had just gotten off this whole, like, 3-week-long diatribe about, like, the evils of the internet and everything. And then I start seeing these kids do the jerk. I'm like, well, I kind of like that. So, like, they were kind of doing it. It was the rate my jerk, right?
Oh, okay.
And so, like,
gotcha.
It was just, you know, kids. It was pretty much just, like, an excuse for kids to,
dancing,
rash on each other,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
on the internet. It was, like, 0.2 out of 10.
Yeah.
And then... So, like, there was one video that happened where it was, like, a bunch of students and me mm-hmm. all, like, spliced together that one of my students popped up. And her video got, like, a million views mm-hmm. over a couple
of weeks.
Is
that when you came in looking all saucy in the very beginning?
This was a video that didn't get any attention
gotcha.
Anything. And so that had kind of happened. And then, like, it went, I would say, like, in Fresno and around the schools and everything, kind of mm-hmm. like locally viral.
Yeah.
And so all the students came to school one day, like, all jacked up about it and everything. I was like, again, I don't have TikToks. So, like, it doesn't matter
yeah,
to me. Like,
I don't, whatever.
You know? Well,
yeah, we're pretty late to the TikTok
yeah,
game,
very
too.
Much so.
Yeah.
And so, and now it's funny because I got my dad on it now, on TikTok.
Oh, right.
And he's like,
scrolling?
I have learned so many cool things because of TikTok. I was like, I got to tell you.
Really?
Have you tried putting foil under your tri-tip? Learned that on TikTok. You're like, thank you, Dad.
Yeah, cool.
He's
I'm glad you can
that.
Stay
He's
entertained
doing that for
right
a
while. Now.
I tell you what, it is pretty cool. The stuff you can learn. But anyways.
You can get a little too deep in TikTok, though, and I'm like, looking at somebody's sad
life.
Reels, I'm like, what's going on?
Reels. Like, everything's got reels now. Facebook, YouTube, everything.
It's like nothing is pictures anymore. It's
right.
all reels.
Well, they got smart, where it was all like the... You know, I think it was Netflix, you know, when they got smart and they started just counting down the next episode.
5, 4, 3, 2,
it's the
play.
Same exact thing where it's like, well, I'm going to watch the next thing. So
yeah,
anyway.
And it never ends. So there's not an end to your feed.
Right. So that's how I keep on like happening upon my video is like just like the other day.
And it's like in your algorithm, I bet you it's like you know what I mean?
Right. But then that's always the time when my wife comes in, you know, yeah. and then she sees me watching my own video like 5 months later.
It's okay. That's like my wife sees me watching my own promos.
Can you stand up and help me with our daughter, please? Yeah. Yes.
Are you serious?
But anyway, so that one video kind of went viral, and so I'm the activities director, and we always do every Friday, we play music in our quad, mm-hmm. right? Kind of like a little mini rally. Sometimes we do games, but every Friday we always play music in our quad, and I'm the DJ of it. And so kind of towards the end of lunch when we're getting all of our kids like back into our quad before the bell rings mm-hmm. and everything, some of my students come over like, play the song. And I'm, I am very extroverted, but like, I don't like it when like people are telling me you, to go.
Yeah, I'm
like,
the same way.
I don't like
getting
pushed into a dance circle. I'll go dance in the circle, but I don't like getting pushed into the dance room kind of thing. So, anyways, I play the song and I'm like, you guys do it. And then we have our radios on, and my principal, who kind of had caught wind of it, and my principal, our former principal at Tenaya, caught wind of the video too, and it was like, get up there, LeMay, get up there. And so that's when I did, the walk up and the whole thing. So and one of my friends that I work with, Jenny, was videotaping it, and she had a TikTok already and had a big following between all the students and everything. And that was on a Friday, and then she posted it Friday night, Saturday. I wake up Sunday morning to text from my buddy saying, like, dude, Snoop Dogg reshared your video and everything. And we were having like a little small family reunion with my mom's side of the family. Yeah. We had family in from out of state and everything. And I'm on my phone that whole last day that we're all trying to spend time with each other and everything, like taking interview requests and everything. My Uncle Tom, who used to teach up in here in Atwater in middle school for a long, long time. He's, just that old, that crotchety guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I show him, he's like, what's going on? I show him, that's it. You have 15 million views for that? I could do that. So, like, right off the bat.
It's like just shutting you down.
And then New Year's comes around, like, well, I'm talking to the Ellen DeGeneres show now.
Yeah.
I still don't get it. It's like, bring me back down. So,
you need people like that in your life.
Exactly, man. It's all been a whirlwind, but, I mean, at the end of the day, and, when I first came in here, I told you, like, it's really cool. I'm really happy that it's been, a fun opportunity, kind of like a lightning rod for me to talk positively about my town, about
especially
my school,
the area, and an area that doesn't get
1,000%
doesn't get that much good attention. You know, I mean, it's always like the murder rates are, and anywhere that, Stockton, Merced,
that
Modesto.
Teaching, just all these things that have kind of gotten a bad rap, including our community too. It's been really cool to do that, but that was back in January, and we had a really tough semester, to finish up the school year here too. So it's been very humbling. It's been, it's provided me with a lot of opportunities over these last couple of months, but at the end of the day, I'm a teacher, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of also provided me with a little bit of a fraud complex too, because it's like, it's cool, and like all these people, like, I've been getting emails from people from out of state, other teachers and other school districts, like, we'd really like to set up a Zoom meeting with our entire school board to talk about, like, your programs. So I'm like, dude,
you're a motivation.
I had to break up a girl fight in my classroom yesterday, dude. This is not America's classroom here, guys. This is,
it's a pretty average class. Right. I mean, you know what I mean?
It's Masters Friday, and Mr. LeMay's playing a movie so he could, have his computer open for all the, and everything.
I got some grading to do today,
exactly.
You guys.
I don't have any delusions of grandeur, man. I'm a very basic guy, and I have as cool as it's been to get a lot of pats on the back for all this stuff, and a lot of people like thank you for teaching and everything, like I'm like in the Marines or something like that. It's like I chose to be a teacher. I love what I do. And more than anything, I love what I do and where I get to do it. Mm-hmm. I went to Tenaya Middle School. My first teaching job was at Bullard High School. I went to Bullard High School.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us teachers, the vast majority of us, love what we do from the bottom of our hearts. But when you can have that added benefit of getting to work where you grew up, in a lot of cases, I get to work with teachers that taught me. So I kind of,
you would go from being their student to being their peers.
Yeah. And like my first couple years of teaching, that was weird. But now I'm on my eighth year, going to be starting my eighth year this year. So, getting over that hurdle now too, and really just becoming more of a colleague with everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I have a lot of people, and I know, you guys being from, around here too, a lot of people kind of fly the coop as fast as they can from the Central Valley when they can, which is fine. I've got friends that have moved, to all corners of the world and have done, amazing things and everything. But for a place that does kind of get, hit with some pretty good hooks throughout a 15-round bout. I love Fresno, man. I love our valley.
I'm saying here, and that's like the reason the show started was because, like, it was just like after the pandemic, I felt like the Valley just seemed a little bit like the community seemed like a little bit more. Everyone's kind of just more appreciative, you know what I mean? Of like, okay, we're out again, we're having a good time.
For sure.
And then I kind of just built on that and kind of just got had a different like kind of wind than I had felt in the past. Mm-hmm. And kind of wanted to show people like, hey, like, yeah, we get a bad rep, but like we still have cool people here. We have talented people. We have people with interesting stories. And like, I want to show that because if you like go on 209 Times or whatever types of like news outlets we have, it's just like, the bad stuff. And I'm like, I get it. There is bad stuff, but there's bad stuff in every city.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you can look at the bad stuff, but why don't we also post the good stuff? You know what I mean? Like,
I've been with my wife now. We've been married for almost 4 years, but we've been together for 12, and she's from Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first started dating, we met at Fresno City, and when we first started dating, you know, we had that playful banter of like, so when are we going to move back up to the Bay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm never doing that because, you know, I'm going to be a teacher. I can't afford it. But then, you know, like,
you know what you're getting into. Okay?
Exactly. And so then, you know, as we, you know, started creating our family together and our lives together here and everything, we still kind of have that conversation. And then she'll throw in, you know, like when we're watching the news or something, and it's like, oh my God, that shooting was a mile away. Like, babe, a mile away, that might as well happen in Nevada. You know, that's a mile away in Fresno is a very long way.
I have my cousins from, they live in Rockland one time, and they're like, it was like, woke up the next day, and it was like, there was like a murder or something in Merced. And they're like, oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
Like,
are you okay?
Yeah. And I was just like, you guys, like, it's fine. Life goes on.
to your point, man, like, not that we have to dwell on that kind of point, you know, for too long or anything, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like, to your point, like to find a true love for this place, it's kind of has to be like kind of like an earned thing.
Yeah,
you know, you have to really dig for it. Like, I love telling people, like, have you ever gone to downtown Visalia? It's a really cool happening spot.
Yeah.
It's got this really cool main street, a lot of good places to go. But like when you drive through Visalia, it's like, no, nice airport. For the crop dusters.
And
then you just keep on going through. But I mean, when you get in there, it's a cool place. Same thing with Fresno, same thing with
Merced Modesto.
Right there by the big old hotel there, right smack dab in the middle of downtown. The Doubletree right there. It's a great downtown spot right there. I've gone to a couple of weddings right there.
But it's just the 99, I think it's the 99 that sucks, you guys,
yeah,
you
gross.
Know? I think the 99 is really what's making our communities.
Thank God they're widening it, but even still.
Well, Merced was, whoever built 99 in Merced, they decided to build it above the city, which makes it so much harder to expand the lanes. And that's why, if you notice, like, from, like, Turlock up, it's already done, and from Fresno that way, it's already done, but Merced's not because it's the hardest one to do.
Poor guys, man.
Yeah, and so, really. And we take this time to interrupt the podcast. Yes, you guys, we have middle ad reads. This podcast is brought to you by Marcus Rodriguez. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in this competitive market and you're not too sure where to start, look no further than Merced's preferred realtor, Marcus Rodriguez. He'll make the process go as smooth and easy as possible, and you can reach him at 209-554-1715. Once again, that's 209-554-1715. Visit his website, www.myagentmarcus.com, or email him, info@myagentmarcus.com. Thanks again, Marcus. So it's the middle of the podcast. You probably have a lot of things on your mind, like that big pile of junk that's in your backyard. Well, that's where Be Junk Free Merced comes in. Everyone has stuff that is taking up space, but not everyone has the time or equipment to do something about it. That's where Scott Levesey comes in. If you have junk overtaking your garage, yard, spare room, or even a storage unit, give Be Junk Free Merced a call at 209-233-1519. Once again, that's 209-233-1519. Thanks again, Scott. This podcast is brought to you by Thor. If you're in the Central Valley area and you're looking to get a great tattoo, look no further than this dude right here. Thor is a versatile artist who specializes in black and gray realism. He's located in Merced at the Merced Tattoo and Piercing Company. And if you'd like to get in contact him, the best thing I can recommend to you guys is go into the shop on the first or second of the month and make yourself an appointment in person. If you're unable to do that, then you can try to reach out to him on Instagram. That's @_Thor5E's. So that's @_THOREEEEE. Stop by the shop. Thanks again, Thor. Yeah, that's
why. Have fun with the split lane for the next 20 years.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Dude, I mean, it's been like that for like...
Right before high-speed rail starts domaining your whole downtown area. Like, we lost the Chick-fil-A,
isn't
guys.
Isn't the high-speed rail supposed to be like only going from like... Isn't it just the valley now? Like,
yeah.
They cut it out from like what the usefulness of it was going to be. It was going to be like, we're going to make it go to the Bay Area and to LA. And they're like, nah, actually, we're just going to do the valley. I'm like, I don't think that's as useful as you guys made it believe.
I mean, Fresno's kind of where it all started, like where the construction started. I mean, throughout the other parts, but like to see what they've already done in our downtown area to really kind of facilitate for it. It's cool to see, like, you know, like they've kind of renovated our entire downtown district for that express cause, to think like more people are going to move downtown.
Oh.
They're going to be able to be a little bit more transient, you know, live in Fresno and maybe commute to the Bay or commute down south or something.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that already happen and take place is kind of cool, to kind of like revitalize a part of our town that desperately needed it.
Yeah.
To know that like, our great-grandchildren are going to be paying taxes on this, and they're going to be able to... I got to... Grandpa, it's awesome. I got to Modesto in 12 minutes today.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Like, did you go anywhere from there? I went home.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, you know.
It is what it is, man.
So what kind of... Did you always want to be a teacher, or what drew you to want to be a teacher?
So I did not... If you asked me when I was, you know, 18 years old, graduating from high school, I would not be able to tell you what I wanted to do. I was kind of like...
That's most, you know.
I went off of the fact that I loved Legos when I was a kid so long that like I'm just going to be an architect, man.
I'm going to be an engineer.
Great. I was an architect. I loved playing with Legos when I was 5 years old. I can build a bridge. You know?
Yeah.
And so, but then, you know, you slowly realize, oh, this takes math skills and science and stuff like that. So, I don't know. Like it probably started when I got rejected by Cal Poly San Luis Obispo when I was a senior in high. Exactly, man. Well, yeah, 39,000 people apply, only 3,000 get in. And it's like, well, there's like, that's all of us. For all of us that went to a state school in California, that's pretty much our origin story. Well, how do you figure out when you went to Fresno State? I got rejected by Cal Poly.
Yeah.
So anyways, like, you know, that dream died when I was a senior. And so when I was going to Fresno State, around that time, my parents were also opening up an Ace Hardware in Fresno.
Okay.
And so, like, I kind of had this idea in the back of my head, like, oh, my parents are business owners. And my dad is also a sod farmer. He grows grass. Mm-hmm. My mom is a business owner. She owns a hair salon with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just entrepreneurs. And so Fresno State has this really good business school, the Craig School of Business, and they have an entrepreneurship program that's very highly touted throughout the nation. I'm like, oh, cool. I'll just go do that. And like the first day of school, they're like, if you're going to fail in business, you got to fail fast. And I'm like, oh, failing?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
That was the first step.
That was, okay. I don't like, this is my first day of college. I'm a failure already. So I was like, that's what I'm trying to avoid. And so I just didn't really jive with it.
You were originally going to do business?
Yeah. I thought about that. But then it's like, you know, it takes initiative and a certain type of drive for that. And like, you know, I'm never going to be on Shark Tank for, you know, some invention that I created. So I quickly switched out of that, and it was also at that time that I started coaching football. I started coaching football like the Monday after I graduated high school, and started coaching football my freshman year of college at Tenaya Middle School, where I went to school, right? And so I was an 18-year-old kid coaching 14-year-old kids, and you know, kind of experimenting with this tenuous grasp of power.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm like, my first year of coaching, it's like, so what experience do you have? It's like, well, I know how to run kids through up downs.
Yeah.
I know how to like go a conditioning practice, like thinking like it was all just punishment. That's what coaching was, right? And so I got into that, and I started coaching for a couple of years, and I just got my general education out of the way at Fresno State. And when it came time to make a decision, I had already had a couple of years of coaching experience to kind of go off of. Like, I really love coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a knack for it. And then I got my degree in English education, actually, so I'm an English teacher, which thank God I became a teacher, because I don't know what else I'd do with that.
Yeah.
I majored in the language that I speak.
Yeah.
It's cheating.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mom and Dad, for paying for that education. So like, but like I come from a line of teachers on my mom's side of the family. A lot of my, you know, my grandma, a couple of my aunts, a couple of my uncles.
That's the same thing on my family, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles. And that's why I was like, oh, I guess I'm just going to become a teacher.
And like, it's so funny to like know that I went through my entire adolescence, like, knowing that that was their job and, like, knowing that they loved their job, and it never even came into, like,
an idea that you'd, that maybe I'll do that, right?
It was right. Like, no. And all these people that, like, changed my life and helped me out through, it's like, golly, man, you guys are awesome. Okay, I'm going to go be a doctor. Who, like, we all universally don't like going see.
Yeah.
When I start, you know, and, like, that was very important, too, like, kind of understanding, like, it's okay to not really have an idea of what you want to do when I was that young, and, like, also having the educators and the family members and all those people that were like, it's okay to switch majors when you're 20.
I was going to say, yeah, I switched majors, like, right. 3 or 4 times when I was in college. You know, and it's because it's like, I was like, oh, I'm going to be a history teacher. Like, right. I don't like that. I'm like, I'll get my A in business administration, okay? Mm-hmm. And, like, then I went to, like, ASU, and it was just, like, business, and I was like, oh, I get to calculus? I was like, I'm not going to do this. And, like, right. ended up doing educational studies, which is basically just, like,
that's
social
awesome.
Sciences. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then it wasn't. So then I was like, gonna be a teacher, gonna, you know, pass the CSATs, do all this stuff. And like, it was always like, I was doing because I thought I should do it. You know what I mean? One mm-hmm. of those things. And then it was like, kind of once I graduated and I had been subbing for a year, I was like, wait, what do I actually want to do?
For sure.
You know what I mean? And like, I hadn't touched a camera or done photography or videography, but it always interests me. Like, I remember being 18 and thinking, oh, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then for one reason or another, just kind of didn't do it, you know what I mean? And so I was like, well, I'm 26 now. I still have time, so it's now or never. And then thankfully I did, because now I do it full time. And like, would not have thought I could do that.
That's like what I try to tell my students all the time, man, is like this constructed idea that you have to have it figured out what you want to do for the rest of your life when you're 18 is so unfair.
Yeah.
And it's not the reality either. It's yeah. like you get told that until you're 18, but then like when we let you go from high school, it's like, oh, you do whatever you want. Like,
yeah, yeah.
We've been telling you this very strict, rigid guideline for the last 12 years of your yeah. life, but you actually have freedom of choice.
Yeah.
So anyways, like, you know, I built great relationships with my players and really, you know, I had a foot in the door already having gone to school in the area. And where Bullard and Tenaya are located in Fresno is Northwest Fresno area, and it's just like, it's where I grew up my whole life, and I, you know, a lot of people that I grew up with were still there, family members. You know, I was coaching you know, cousins or siblings of
your
people that I grew up
or
with
whatever,
or, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to just kind of have that foot in the door, and to, you know, kind of stake the beginning parts of my career off of like 20 years experience already and just rapport building with all these people that I know from mm-hmm. my part of town. But then what's really cool too now is that, like, now that I have my foothold and have kind of become a professional in that particular part of town, you know, now I'm starting to work with all these other people from all these other schools throughout Fresno, because Fresno, just like Merced and all these other towns in the Central Valley, mm-hmm. are way bigger than you give them credit
oh,
for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You ever gone to Bakersfield?
Yeah, Bakersfield's massive.
It's huge.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Fresno Unified School District. You got 74,000 students in there and over 100 schools. It's the fourth largest school district in the state, which means it's probably like ninth in the nation. So,
yeah.
You know, when you've got over 6,000 colleagues to collaborate with
yeah.
and everything, it's just really cool to know that you're in it with all these other people that are really just trying to, like, make every day better for other people.
Yeah.
Because that's what teaching is at the end of the day.
Yes.
To me.
You know, and it is. Because so when the pandemic hit, I was like applied to be substitute, right? And then they're like, they were doing the whole thing where there's having cohorts. So you have like a, for the older teachers or teacher yeah. who didn't want to do, you're supposed to be the in-class teacher and they're teaching online, right? And so they just like threw me into the wolves. They're like, okay, yeah, here, this is what you're going to do. And then the teacher I was talking to was like, oh yeah, this is your class now. Like, I quit, just letting you know. Like, and like, I was like, wait, what? Like, what's going on here? Because it's like, I was teaching English apparently, you know.
There's
what I
so
mean?
So many of those stories these last
yeah,
couple
yeah.
of years.
Yeah, and so like, I was just, but like, it was kind of like, I was like, the least of everyone's problem at the time, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So no one was really paying attention that yeah. I was like trying to talk to people and they're like, no. And then I finally was like, finally talked to the principal and multiple people and they're like, okay, like, well, they're like, we'll pay you for an extra period. I was like, okay, whatever.
Gosh.
But one of the teachers like came up to me and she was like, hey, listen, like, don't worry about all the curriculum, anything like that. She was like, all you got to try to do is make impact on these students'
yeah.
lives. She was like, if they can just think back and be like, oh, Mr. D'Ailey did this for me. He was only our teacher for 2 months, but we liked him. You know, she was like, that's the best thing
for
you could
sure.
happen. She was like, so just think of it that way. She was like, don't worry about grading or doing all these other things. She was like, you can't, they're like, she can't, they can't hold you to anything because you're not supposed to be here, but you are, you know what I mean? So I was like, cool.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like, you know, when you talk about why, like right now we're in such a crisis with a teacher shortage, and people not going into the career field, and, you know, you have this double-edged sword of this large exodus of not only people retiring en masse, but also people just leaving the industry en masse because of all these things that we've been dealing with. But then also just we're not replacing it with young teachers that are going into the career field. You know, it is kind of a job that kind of chews up and spits people out. But I can't, it's obviously that's going to happen when you have situations like yours, which I mean, in the pandemic, when we got put into online instruction, I mean, you go through a credential program for a year and a half or 2 years, however long you go, there's so many things that you don't get taught before you go into a teacher. And I loved my credential program at Fresno State. They did a great job getting us ready to be teachers. And there's still a whole litany of things that just don't get talked about. How are you going to handle a disgruntled parent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you do talk about it, you can't really figure out how you're going to handle it unless
and each
you're
parents, you know, a right. whole different kind
and that's, of and that's what, I mean, I've gone 7 years throughout my career and I've maybe only had like one or two bad run-ins with parents. It's, you know, a lot of other things that kind of make the job difficult. But, you know, but then the pandemic hit and it's like, nobody could have thought of this in a lot of different ways, but you know, we never even thought about teaching kids online. And in a lot of ways that, you know, that was kind of like an easy thing because it also allowed, you know, some teachers that, you know, like to kind of sit back and, you know, that kind of happened. But then for, you know, for the vast majority of us teachers who really want to like get in there and like want to see our kids every day. And like, that's our lifeblood. And that's our, you know, why we go, why we did the job in the first place is just like laugh and see everybody and see our colleagues and go on campus and like go somewhere else for our work.
Not look at black screens every day.
And that was the thing too. When all these powers that be came out, you know, before the first week of school started, that first full year of online instruction, and they're like, you don't have kids, are legally not, you do not legally have to have your cameras on. Like, what are we doing? Dude, you know, it's like
you'd have like, because when I was doing it, I'd have two kids and everybody else would just be black screens. Yeah. And I'm like, you can't, and then you're like sitting there calling on somebody who's clearly not in the room where their laptop is or whatever.
But then like flip side it, because then when we're teachers and we're all on the online meetings and then our teachers union say that we don't have to have our cameras on. Do we have our cameras on? No. Are we paying attention? No.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's just the pot calling the kettle black there, and it's just not a very good it's just not a good system. So anyways, as you know, and I mean, that's already been a whole school year ago, this whole last year we had a little bit of hybrid learning, a little bit of online stuff, because this was the first time this year where we had a lot of kids actually where we had to do hybrid learning, where a lot of our kids had to be sent home for weeks at a time because they did get sick, right?
Or somebody in your household or something.
That was a whole new problem that we had to deal with this year, right as January hit. And we came back from Christmas break. You know, everybody's like, oh, things are good. We went through a whole semester.
Because it was like no mask mandate. You know what I mean? Like it's just little back and forth things.
It went, and then, you know, you've got teachers that are going, oh, the teacher got sick, so the whole class has to be shut down. And when you're in a secondary education setting like, you know, middle schools and high schools are, where you've got kids going to multiple classes a day, you now start to have to do like a 6 degrees of separation thing where it's like, okay, who sits? I can't tell you how many times this year, and God love my VP who had to track this stuff down. Who sits within 5 feet of this student in your class? You know? Okay, those five kids, now I need to track who sits within 5 feet of those five kids. So it's just a spider web effect, because at some point you get to every student and every teacher, right? So like, you know, not to martyr ourselves or anything, but you know, when we were getting down to the end of the school year this year, it was like, you know, the end of Saving Private Ryan, where everybody's just fatigued and it's just like, you know, you got Tom Hanks dead on the bridge over here, you know, and it just, everybody was at wit's end, students and teachers alike. And so this summer was very a welcome pause.
Much needed break.
But at the same time, it's like throughout the last 2 years, nothing has really wavered in my resolve to be a teacher, mm-hmm. you know? And if anything, I think you guys have probably heard it before, but there's this saying, I don't know who originated it, but it's the whole, you know, tough times make tough people, you good times make soft people,
soft people, blah, blah, blah.
Well, we have all inextricably been going through a tough time right now. And you know, because we're going through a tough time, we're all going to be tougher for it, but we're all going to be better for it too.
Mm-hmm.
And, as tough as online learning was those first couple of weeks when we all came back and kids were able to be back with each other and teachers were able to be, I mean, all of us, you know, this summer has been great, you know, being able to go out. I don't know what you guys did for the fourth, but being able to go to my, you know, family friends mm-hmm. pool party for the first time in a couple of years without like worrying about everybody else and everybody's there. It, you know, it's just,
it was like weird guilt that was going on in COVID mm-hmm. too. Cause it's like, well, I was around somebody or like, it was like, you'd be hanging out with your family, but you feel weird. You're like, well, this is a group of like 20 people. And you're like, well, why do I feel this way? You know what I mean?
It's nice to and start.
And so now it's like, exactly. Yeah.
And so like going into this next school year, like this whole last school year, you know, we're able to be back in school, but at the beginning of the year, it's like, okay, you can have all your kids in classes. They have to have their masks on, but you can't have a dance. It's like, or like you can't have a rally or you can't have this. And then throughout the year, little things started getting, you know, allowed mm-hmm. back. It's like, you can have a dance, but kids can't go.
Well,
to
and your job is you're a leadership teacher, right? And that's like a lot
director.
Of like that's literally like most of your stuff is
right.
like to bring the school together to have activities.
So it's this constant juggle of like, you know, okay, I want to do this event, but like, can we name it this or am I going to offend somebody?
Yeah.
You know?
I
had this t-shirt idea and it wasn't even my idea. I Googled it. I saw it. It was like for next year's leadership shirts. You know, the popsicles, the red, white, and blue popsicles.
Yeah.
I think like the bomb or whatever it is.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
That. I was going to Tenaya leadership. We're the bomb and have
the
like
popsicle.
That popsicle, like shooting across the chest. But then like, it's a school shirt. It can't have bomb on it.
Oh,
you know, stuff like that. So, you know, you do have to think about that. And, you know,
that's our t-shirt idea, man.
Almonds and allergies and that. Hey, yes. That's 100%. My wife was kind of going through a little bit of a cold fit a couple of weeks ago, and she went in and she, you know, the doctor's like, no, you got allergies. I'm like, babe.
Hey, look, it's good news.
12 years, you're officially a resident. Yes. Welcome.
That's how you know you're from the Central Valley. Yeah. When she was like, but it's not allergy season. I'm like, yeah, we know. It's always allergy season here, though.
We keep on thinking my one-year-old daughter's sick and everything. Yeah, babe, she's a Fresnan. You know, she's got allergies.
Fresnan? Is that what you guys say?
Yeah, Fresnan.
Because we're like Mercedians, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. What is it for you guys?
Mercedian. That's
Mercedians?
Yeah. That's what
some of them work, and then some of them are just like a nightmare to say.
Fresnan?
Fresnan's.
It kind of sounds like brethren. Like, brethren. You know what I mean? It's Fresnan. Yeah. Yeah.
Fresnan brethren.
There we go. No, that's funny. That's funny.
We take this time to interrupt the podcast to talk to you guys about our sponsor, Crybaby Wine. Proudly located in Fresno, California, Crybaby Wine offers you your favorite delicious tasting wines like Chardonnay, Cabernet, and everything in between. Hold on, let me pour myself a glass. Not only do they offer these great tasting wines, but they also have de-alcoholized CBD wine. That's the one I'm drinking right now. Now, infused with CBD and CBG, these wines help you reduce anxiety and alleviate stress. You can find their products at crybabywine.com. Once again, that's crybabywine.com. And if you live in Fresno County, you'll receive free delivery. Once again, check them out at crybabywine.com or follow them on Instagram at crybabywinecalifornia. Drink this if you're trying to relax in the evening. Thanks again, Crybaby. What I just did right now, you guys, is what I do every day. This podcast is brought to you by Sisters of the Valley. Located here in the Central Valley of California, these sisters make homegrown healing products like CBD salves, CBD tinctures, CBD oils, and mushroom coffee. These products are amazing, you guys. I constantly take drops of the oil and rub salve if I'm sore or if my body is aching or hurts. These CBD salves work wonders, you guys. Now, these great, great ladies believe you need to heal your body the safe way, the way nature intended it. And that's why I know by using natural products like this CBD. Now, if you guys want to buy some of their products, you can visit sistersofthevalley.org. Once again, that's sistersofthevalley.org. They have tons of different products and different sizes. Or if you just want to follow them on Instagram and support them that way, you can follow them at Sisters of the Valley. Once again, that's at Sisters of the Valley. Thanks again, sisters. We also take this time to interrupt the podcast to talk to you about a little pick-me-up. That's right. Juno Coffee, right here in the Central Valley. Nothing beats fresh-brewed coffee, but this specialty coffee is a delicious alternative for those who are on the go, whether you're backpacking, hiking, climbing, parenting, or just out there being rad. This is the perfect instant coffee. There's so many times I've been hiking and backpacking, and when you crack open like an instant coffee, you mix it up, it just doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste like a cup of coffee. But this Juno coffee tastes exactly like a cup of coffee. He has taken his time, perfected this recipe, and it is delicious. They have some awesome roasted coffee as well, and it's pretty cool because they always, you know, it's a small company, and what they do is he has this coffee called Martian Coffee, and he put his kid on it on Mars, like photoshopped it in. And I don't know, I just love it. I just love it. But I can't recommend this coffee enough, you guys. This instant coffee is the shit. You can find them at drinkjunocoffee.com. Once again, you can go to drinkjunocoffee.com and order it, or you can follow them on Instagram at drinkjuno. Once again, their Instagram is at drinkjuno, and if you want to order this amazing coffee, you can go to drinkjunocoffee.com. Thanks, Juno Coffee.
And so with you being a leadership teacher and everything else, like, how have you kind of, like, when the video went viral and everything like that, was it hard to just get your kids just to like go back to normalcy of like, hey, I'm still your teacher? You know what I mean? Did you have a pretty good...
It was probably more difficult for me to go back to normalcy because I kept on like wanting to reference it. Yeah. Like, I do kind of have like that performer itch in me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that delusion of grandeur where it's like, no, oh, I hear a good rot song when I was a kid. You know, I'd air guitar in the mirror, like thinking what it'd be like to play in front of 100,000 fans or something like that. So, it, you know, like it was kind of cool to have that moment. And, you know, if like somebody famous would like reshare it or something, like guys, did you see it? And like the kid's like, no, we don't care anymore. So you're like, you're four trends ago, LeMay. So, no, it was very, I say that, but the kids were very excited. Yeah, for a couple of days there, it was pretty tough. You guys have me and Ed's up here, right?
Yeah.
Me and Ed's, the first week the video went out, reached out, and they actually fed our whole school.
Damn.
So, like, that a week after the video popped out, they came to me, and they're like, so we're kind of between giving you free pizza for a year or wanting to do something for your school. I was like, you guys are going to save a lot more money if you feed 800 kids right now than giving me free pizza for a year. I might take the whole chain down.
Yeah.
So they'll come
every single day and get a pizza.
I will rip you down. So they came through and delivered like 200 pizzas in one day and fed the entire school. And we had a big dance party, you know, out, you know, we extended the lunch period to an hour that day and, you know, fed the whole kid, you know, all the kids and everything. So it was really cool, man. It was fun to happen. And then, you know, like as the activities director, I go through, all of our feeder elementary schools and kind of recruit for the next year and get them all signed up and everything. So a lot of the other kids, you know, that are coming in are like, you're the TikTok guy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited to see how that plays out, going to this next school year. But at the same time, it's like, okay, what are you going to do for us next, clown? You know, it's like, you know, it does kind of
dance, pony, little dance boy.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, my wife and I were having dinner a couple of months ago, and like the waiter comes up, like, we're so excited to have Mr. LeMay here. He was at Eureka Burgers. Like, our staff in the back is just going crazy. And I was like, really? I was like, hello. And he's like, oh, you know, that. Yeah. And so, like, and again, like, I'm not trying to be gross or lizard brained about this or anything, but like, it, you know, we go through the dinner and everything's very nice. And then the tab comes and the tab, full price, you know, wasn't expecting a discount or anything. But then my wife's like, you better make sure you tip well. Like, why? Like, I was going to tip. I'm not,
yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
like
yeah.
Mr. Pink and the Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to tip.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what? She's like, but you're Mr. LeMay. You can't be Mr. LeMay, the bad tipper. I'm like,
You're like, what? I didn't get a pay increase from my job because of this.
Thanks, Ellen. So it's been cool. It's been a lot of fun. And, but at the same time, it's like, you know, when people talk about 15 minutes of fame, it's truly that.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like, I have like 120,000 TikTok followers, but they're like, I'm losing like 50 a day because I'm not doing anything.
I'm not
an influencer. I'm not posting videos all the time. Now I'm just posting videos like me and my daughter just like walking. So that's not nobody cares about dad content.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, you know, it's cool. And really more than anything, you know, it all just goes back to teaching. Like, if I wasn't a teacher, if I didn't have this position as activities director, if I didn't work at the school that I work with and the people that I work with that, like, allow me to be this big, you know, goofball that
yeah,
I am,
yeah.
This, like, left tackle child, you know.
Yeah,
just, like,
well, I think it's good that, you know, because you're a teacher and the people have, like, a stigma of what a teacher is, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
For
so
sure.
I think it's good to, like, that, you know, you are, like, authentically you being a teacher,
that.
You know what I mean?
And, I appreciate
and,
that.
And then it kind of can at least inspire some people, like, oh, it's not like...
Well, at the end of the day, I think that's the shtick that kind of rubs a lot of people the wrong way and why they ultimately don't become a teacher if they're thinking about it, is all these, like, war stories about, you know, oh, my administrator or my principal or... You know, you have to teach to a test. You can't be your own self. You have to, you know, I hate who I work with. The kids are crazy. The parents are terrible. You know, all these narratives about why you shouldn't become a teacher, really, in my experience, and I think I'm lucky in this regard, but in my experience, haven't come to fruition. Like,
yeah.
And you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I think a lot of that is manifested. I do not like confrontation. For as big as I am, I don't like being at odds with people. I am, like, kind of gross in that way. Like, I want you to like me.
Oh, I'm
I very
preaching
much,
to the choir over here, man.
I tell all.
Yeah. Like, we like.
I don't think that you know. I think we live in a time now where it's that's kind of like a thin red line you toe. Where
yeah.
admitting that it's like, well, you're gross. You're narcissistic. It's like, how yeah. dare you? You know, it's like you want to be liked. You're terrible. So I don't think that's really that inhuman of a wish or anything. So.
Yeah, I always tell my friends when we go to, like, if we go to a bar or something like that, I'm like, listen, I was like,
yeah.
I'm not the guy that's going to be getting your back if you're drunk doing
no.
something, you guys.
No.
Like,
I'm going to be coming
I'm going to be, like, watching you, and then you're going to look at me, and I'm like, I don't know, man.
Brian, he's got a point.
Yeah.
You are being real rambunctious here.
Yeah.
We should go home and think about our actions.
Yeah.
I've been very lucky and fortunate enough to first of all, have really good principals and administrators that I've worked for, over the last couple of years, people that are very supportive, that, you know, do a good job of getting us ready to be teachers, but then also, like, allowing us to just, like, you know, if you do your job well, I don't need to manage you,
mm-hmm.
right? And I really appreciate that. My dad, being a farm manager, really has always kind of, like, instilled that in all of, you know, my two brothers and I, where it's like, you know, if you're ever going to be a leader, and, like, as a leadership teacher, this is something I try to instill in my students. It's like, you do not need to be the loudest person in the room. Being a leader is getting smart people around you or capable people around you, or getting those people who are around you capable enough to do the job that you need them to do, and then letting them do that. If they need help, help them. If they need to be redirected, redirect them. But if they're doing their job, that makes your job easier, so don't overcomplicate things.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that at the end of the day, just delegate, you know,
mm-hmm.
just be a very good delegator and trust those that you have around you. So I've been very fortunate that I have had principals that have reflected those qualities and had trusted me as an educator and have trusted me as me and my ridiculous personality traits and everything. Cause, I do take some liberties as a teacher, not, you know, anything that I'd get in trouble for or anything, but,
yeah. but not the normal.
Well, I tell them I'm an open book with my students, man. I cry when something bad happens and I tell my students about it. Yeah. I fell down the stairs one time a couple years ago, like trying to take my dog out to go to the bathroom one night. We had just gotten him and he was a puppy and we were living in this rental, the two-story rental, and we got a baby cage for him so he didn't fall down the stairs, right?
Because
let's treat our puppy like a child. And I was taking him out to go to the bathroom one night and I didn't, the cage was at the top of the stairs and I didn't move the cage. I tried to step over it and just a bag of rocks falling down the stairs.
You didn't want the puppy to fall, but you wanted to fall.
Look, I fall and I like break myself in half and my dog's like back at the top of the stairs. Just like, what's happened, bro? You know, like, you good?
Your wife's like, is somebody breaking in?
The first thing my wife just, is Blue okay? Our dog. And no, he's good.
It's good.
I need a cadaver's ACL in my right knee right now, but I'll be okay. But anyways, like the first thing when I took self inventory and realized I wasn't, you know, incapacitated, you know, my first thought was like, God, this is going to be hilarious to share with my students. Shirt, you know, go to school that day and tell them about it. And they thought it was hilarious. And, you know, that probably took up like 20 minutes in each of my classes. That
and then
day.
I was going to say, each time are you getting better at telling the story? Thousands. You know what I mean?
Again, so, I'm a failed comedian. So there's my audience. You know, six periods getting some real good material.
Because I've had some good like college professors and I felt like it was just routine of them. Like, oh, at this moment, I'm going to tell this joke because this is what it is.
Tuesday, 4 p.m. classes, college professors are on it.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you've taken night class, they're like real loose about it.
Well, that's why I need to start getting better about lesson planning so that I could like start like taking like one-liner notes and like, okay, I'm going to have a whole year of work on this material. Yeah. We got this. You know? For me, it's like every year, it's just like chapter in this book on the, okay, I'm going to have to make a whole new script.
That's funny.
But it's I don't know, man. It's, I forget what we were talking about.
I don't know what we're talking about, honestly. That happens a lot on this podcast.
Yeah.
We just get off track. But so the thing that I always think, so when I was a substitute a lot, I always think about how different school was, like when we were in school. Because when we were in school, we still had books. People used their lockers still. You know what I mean? That's the thing I realized going to high schools now is like, I've never seen one locker open
Other than in PE classes, don't like, exist. And even then, kids aren't using them. Yeah. They're just leaving their backpack. The level of trust that kids have nowadays is it's good. I mean, I hope they're not getting burned for it or anything, but like, you know, when you're walking around the locker room during PE class, every kid gets a locker and a lock and all these backpacks are just out. It's like, why didn't you, I forgot my code. When?
Beginning of the year.
March. Yeah. they just leave all their stuff out. But things are very different now.
Yeah, because I always just think the books thing was, because what's crazy is I had my cousin on the podcast and he's like, I don't know, like 24, 25. And when he went to high school, they had Chromebooks and everything was online. And that was only 4 years, you know, before or after me.
Right.
You know? So it's just crazy how quick, because I feel like we were like the last, like the iPhone came out like when we were in high school. You know what
One
I mean?
One kid in my class had an iPhone and I remember playing the arcade basketball flick.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember that one, or the one that's like a beer. Like you just turn it and it goes.
Or like when like the people downloaded the gun app, you know, where you could do this and do the fire. Yeah,
that
exactly. Wouldn't
be
a good one nowadays. Obviously, back then it's like that's a fun toy.
Yeah, what do you think the biggest difference is, you know, from like when we went to school to now? Technology is mainly
yeah, that's that, but that's a tired thing.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, man, there's a lot of differences here. I will say, I think the level of brazenness is just a little bit, is this a touch higher in our students nowadays? I mean, if you want to talk from a teacher's perspective about how students are different now than what we were, like going back to the devious licks thing, like as crazy as things were, and I shouldn't say that because a group of my teammates my junior year of high school went and vandalized our rival's high school.
Yeah, but that was more popular back then, was like...
But it wasn't for the views. It was purely a...
Pride.
Yeah, throwing a king-size mattress into the pool at Hoover High School. Pride. Yeah, go board. I wasn't there. I got to play that night. But you know, yeah, you're right. It was much more of a pride thing. Nowadays... And I'm kind of glad that, you know, being a teacher, all this stuff happened to me. But like, you know, these kids, you know, do all this stuff for the views, right? Not all of them. I'm painting with broad strokes right now, but a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we all had, I think, at one point or another, like these ideas of fame and fortune and everything. But now, I think the barometer for fame has kind of been diluted a little bit.
Yeah.
To where, you know, I had this video pop out and like all of my students and a lot of kids that I don't have as my students at my school, you know, had this elevated level of respect for me, you know, just because they saw this video that they were in person to see that they saw that day they didn't care about, but because they saw it on the internet, now it's like, oh my God, you're the coolest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
And all these kids, you're famous. What did you do? What is it like? It's like, it's not different, dude.
Yeah.
I had to wake up at 6 a.m. and change my daughter's diaper and had to be at work. You know, my diaper. and so, like, I don't know. I think that
Because it's almost saturated now, huh? With, like, the TikTok and Instagram, it's like, it's not what it used to be on
there is famous. There is a dire need for attention. You know, anonymity is not, I don't know if celebrated is the right word, but appreciated by individuals as much as it was back then. At least in my opinion, you know, like when I was growing up, my house was in the very back part of my, my room was in the very back part of my parents' house. And I loved it because I could come home from school. I could go back, I could play NCAA football 14 and juice the stats up of my whole team.
Dude, we used to only play NCAA option dash. And like we would.
The defensive end just crashes down the whole time. Yeah, it's like, dude, I just got to beat you with one play, dude.
And me and my friends would just play back and forth. Like whoever gets the most touchdowns,
right,
you know.
Trips right, option read. Just like play, stack up that side. They haven't invented the defense. You have to follow this thing.
Aren't they doing NCAA again now? Finally?
I hope so. I will buy again. I have not bought a game console or a video game since NCAA football 14 came out with Denard Robinson.
I used to play NCAA all the time.
And I'm an Ohio State fan, and I bought it. You know, there's a Michigan quarterback on the front of that last copy, but I love that game. But so, anyways, I hate painting with such broad strokes, but social media. I mean, you know, again, I not to go back to technology as the craziest thing, but you know. When we as teachers are dealing with behavioral issues, 90% of the time we're dealing with things that we can't control because it's happening on the internet.
Yeah,
and that was another big, you know, real negative offshoot of the COVID shutdown and everything. Is, you know, when we were online, is, you know, we were still dealing with behavioral issues, but now we were dealing with things purely online and purely things that were happening at home.
Yeah,
and that limits our ability to do things down to about zero. And you know, now that we have our, you know, every kid before COVID, we were not a school district that had technology in all of our students' hands. We were still, you know, textbooks and everything. Now every student has a laptop and every student has Microsoft Teams and every student can chat each other at all times and create groups and everything. Well, these bully groups and everything started popping up and we get all these alerts whenever these words are flagged by the system, by this artificial intelligence.
Okay, gotcha.
And so we get, you know, our administrators and our counselors and all these other people get all these notifications about these kids just talking wild stuff to them. And then you get these, you know, I don't get those notifications, but what I get is DMs from my students or, you know, on Instagram or on Teams or whatnot saying, hey, this bad thing is happening, Mr. LeMay, because I found out about it. What can you do? You know, I've had to call the police, you know, to go do wellness checks a couple of times over the last couple of years. I've had to call my principal or, you know, do a blast text at like 11:30 at night to, you know, file like a missing persons report a couple of months ago because a student told me that another student ran away from their home and their parents can't find them, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, things have definitely kind of, gotten a little bit more hectic than the first 5 years of my teaching career. But if anything, I feel that has promoted an even greater need for even more and even greater teachers.
Yeah.
And not only teachers, but like, you know, more adults that are just willing to be good people around, you know, our youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got this big debate right now in Fresno Unified about putting SROs, you know, on-campus police officers back on our school campuses after the Uvalde shooting. Yeah. And so our school board just voted to put armed police officers back on our middle school campuses after they were taken off of our school campuses after the George Floyd murder. Mm-hmm. So we had them, they were taken away, and now they're put back. And there's a lot of people that are for it. There's a lot of people that are against it. My viewpoint is simply that's another paid adult on campus who, in my experience, our SROs have always been great advocates for positive culture change on the school campus. You know, I mean, you'll say what you will about it from a safety aspect, but if you put good people in positions to do good things for others, I don't really see a problem with that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, hire more lunch staff people, hire more custodians, hire more front office staff people, you know, just hire more people that are going to
create that culture in a school that you that you need, especially in this day and age. Because like the whole thing with social media, like yeah, it's great and it's fun and everything like that. But obviously, there's all those bad things as well that can come with it. But more importantly, I feel like it's just like there's no off switch on it. You know what I mean? There's no like, oh, I've had enough. Like where like when we used to go home, you might play NCAA for 4 hours, but you're not on your phone scrolling aimlessly for 4 hours, getting sucked into seeing what everybody else says.
Yeah, I'd rather kids do that all day than you know, just talk smack on.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And to your, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when we talk about all these issues and everything, you know, society's issues, I don't see any other battlefield to combat society's issues on, you know, greater than at the school level, because those are, you know, not to sound like a Disney movie or something, but that's our future. You know, these young people are going to be, you know, voting, interacting with us, working with us, our colleagues, our bosses, you know, or our employees in the future, you know. I love knowing that I've been teaching and coaching for so long now that I'm now working with some of my former players. And in a couple of years, I'll be working with some of my former students. And, you know, hopefully some of our work has inspired them to do that or other good things that are going to help make our world better. I don't know. I get real tired of, how much complaining people do, you know, all of us, yeah, me too, without being solution oriented and, not to be, you know, like a martyr or anything, but I think, you know, me being a teacher has just been kind of like my put up or shut up, call to action. That's why I went to Tenaya and left Bullard High School to go be at Tenaya, because when I was at Tenaya as a student, I got bullied mercilessly. I really disliked my time at Tenaya Middle School as a student. And even like so much to the point that when I was starting as a teacher, I was like openly speaking out about how much I never would want to work there, how much I, you know that that's a bad school, and blah, 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 you know, stuff that was just wildly untrue. And just because I got bullied by
your personal
kid.
Experience.
Yeah. Right. And so when I got asked to, you know, become the activities director and the campus culture director there to direct the culture of the school, it's like, all right. You know,
you were complaining, or you know what I mean? Like
what are you going to do about it? You know, and so I don't know. I just know that for me and myself, I like to live very dramatically in my life and wear my emotions on my sleeves. And that's just kind of like what I need to do to get myself out of bed every day, is just give myself this kind of like blockbuster movie type of mentality where it's like, I'm going to do right today. I'm going to win. You know,
fall downstairs.
Oh, it's like an Adam Sandler. Now I want to make that to a movie. I'm going to win it.
Oh, really? Toured.
I was watching Office Space the other night, dude. You ever watch the movie Office Space?
Yeah.
And just when he's going to work and just he keeps on trying to drive to cut lanes and to go into traffic, and the guy on the walkers, you know, I don't know. Just
no, I feel ya.
That's so funny, man.
No, that No, I agree. Honestly, Austin, thank you for being here, dude.
Thank you guys,
I appreciate it. It was a blast. I'm really glad we ended with that freaking great laugh.
Absolutely. I appreciate what you guys do, and thank you guys for giving me a time to, you know, just talk about my love for teaching and for, you know, like my family has roots in the Central Valley, and we are rooted in the Central Valley, and you guys are too, and I appreciate you guys just giving voice to all of us here.
Exactly. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a cool, passionate. You know, it's just so overlooked, and I just am happy to be able to have this platform. When we started this, it was like out of a room in my house, and like never did I think it was going to turn into something that. And it's not even like it's like that big or anything like that. It's just cool that people are noticing it, and it's becoming a thing that's bigger than me. I feel like
on working, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are doing a great thing, and I love what you guys are doing. I can't wait to see what you guys keep on doing, man.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate
Austin,
you guys, man. Thank you very much, man. Thank you.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I go by Iron Chef Weez. I'm gonna throw these on real quick, man.
It ain't too often I get to look this nice. We gonna do it like this. Yeah. Hootie who, little birdie, who is you? Coming at me with this real seductive view. Your energy's on 10 and you ain't got nothing to lose. You told me y'all look sharp and I told you we cutting loose. Plus I heard it from a friend that you were single for the night. I told her say less, let's run it back and kick it like it's pay less. You looking like the bomb and lotus flowers, the fragrance that compliments the cadence. Yeah, and I'd be lying if I told you she ain't looking fly. Pretty hair, pretty face, I'm just a simple guy. But she the furthest from that. She real exotic, she got morals in fact. The type of shorty that won't cut me no slack. She make me work for it. A couple shots of Casamigo was the first choice. Did I forget to mention that the booty's like a Rolls Royce? She's so classy, so wavy, like a bag of chips. Asked if I could come a little closer, so I grabbed her hips. She digging my steez, I'm digging the vibe. She keeping it sweet, I'm keeping it live. We know what time it is. Now she got me cheesing like I'm floating off the cannabis. She threw it back, cracked a smile and asked if I could handle this. I think it's funny how she act like she don't know that I'm the type to break it down and I've been known to steal the show. I'm a well-spoken soldier with a heart that's made of gold and a flow that's hot enough to keep your feathers out the cold. So hootie who, little birdie, who is you? Coming at me with this real seductive view. Your energy's on 10 and you ain't got nothing to lose. You told me y'all look sharp and I told you we cutting loose. Plus I heard it from a friend that you was single for the night. I told her say less, let's run it back and kick it like it's pay less. You looking like the bomb and lotus flowers, the fragrance that complements the cadence. Damn, it's 1 a.m. and now we grinding to some dance hall. She told me we should grab another drink before the last call. I got a feeling if we take another shot, I won't be coming home alone. But like I said, it's worth a shot. She told me she don't chase, but she attracted to a good man. Friends are left a little after 12, but she in good hands. She told me she ain't never felt this type of way about a man that she just met. But shit, I'm smoother than the slow jams. Before the night had ended, it had started off with no plans. I'm glad we got familiar with the program. I'm glad I got the chance to pull up on you looking fly as can be. The Uber told me he was pulling up a 2:45. It's looking like some risky business, but the feeling is free. It's part of the plan. She eating out the palm of my hand. She told me that even though I made the best of first impressions, she ain't never been the type to do the one night stand. Like damn, who who, little birdie, who is you? Coming at me with this real seductive view. Your energy's on 10 and you ain't got nothing to lose. You told me y'all look sharp and I told you we cutting loose. Plus I heard it from a friend that you was single for the night. I told her say less, let's run it back and kick it like it's pay less. You looking like the bomb and lotus flowers, the fragrance that complements the cadence. Yeah, yeah. Central Valley Podcast, big shout out to Micah, man. Merced, California, we out here.
This is it. Real talk. And whatnot.
Real talk. That's it. Real talk.